Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And we're in the Gospel according to Luke. We're in chapter 11 and verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth the spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return to my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, and goeth he, and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's a sad state to be in. Seven devils enter back in. You can't have an empty house. Somebody has to occupy it. And just trying to wrap my mind around that, sometimes I have to pause. I like what he says here. He that is not with me is against me. And that's like the kingdoms of this world. Of course, he's speaking to those that are bringing an accusation against him, calling him the devil. And these, of course, are the religious leaders of the day. One, they feel powerless and they feel threatened because here's a man with much power and exercising that power over demons. And there are many people in the land where I live who hold up the government as the greatest power there is. And I often call the government Antichrist because the government is not for Jesus. As it says here, whoever's not for me is against me. They're not with the Messiah, Yahshua. They're not for him. As a matter of fact, their law is against him. And so I tell people that if you have your children in the public school, you need to take them out because he has been outlawed in the public schools. The Messiah has been outlawed. How can you call yourself Christians? How can you say you follow the Messiah, yet you send your children into the enemy to be trained and taught by them? Because, well, and why do you do it? Because it's free. Because it's a benefit. And people just, you know, they find it hard to resist free things. Things that are free. That's right. They find it hard to resist. But what you don't realize is that there is nothing free. That there is a high price to pay. How about the souls of your children? Is that a good price to pay for free child care and free education? Are your children's souls worth getting that free so you don't have to bother with it? How much do you love your children? The state is not for Christ. And Yahshua, we can apply this statement here that he says. We could call it a maxim. You know, we have maxims of law. Well, here's a maxim here that we can take and we can apply it wherever it's applicable. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So, the kingdoms of this world, the public fool system where you send your children because you want free stuff, regardless of the cost. Yes, free sounds good. Now, there's nothing free unless you think, well, the souls of my children didn't cost me anything, so it's not going to cost me anything if I send them to the public fool system. And then, of course, since they worship education, you have to send them off to college where they do the final destruction of their faith in college. And of course, you're sending them out to cavort, sending your girls out to cavort with pagan men and go off to these ungodly, colleges and spring breaks and all that girls gone wild stuff that they advertise on TV. And I've seen some of those ads. And just despicable. And how could any parent send their children off to these colleges? They must hate their children, or they just don't love them enough. That's what hatred is. You don't love them enough to keep them away from it, because you love your own freedom. You love free child care and free education more than you love your children. Yes. Shame on you. I am shaming you. Chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these sayings, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And there we go again, keeping the word of God, not just hearing it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the king in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. What are you after? What are you looking for? What are your eyes constantly falling on? Are you looking for the kingdom of heaven? What are you looking for? Do you have an evil eye? Are you looking for mammon? Are you looking for the riches of this world? Are you looking for what you can get, what you can take from your neighbor? Or are you looking to love God and love your neighbors yourself? Judge the things that you're looking for. Judge the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Do you have an evil eye? If you do, if your eye is evil, then your body is full of darkness. So he says, Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So Yahshua, he's sitting there, and he sits down, and they bring him food, and he doesn't run out and wash his hands, or, you know, find the bowl with the water and the towel and all that and wash his hands, as the Pharisees did by ritual. You know, they had to wash their hands. And, you know, washing your hands is a pretty good idea, especially if you're in the public, where all these people have this virus, flu viruses and all this stuff that's going around. And, yes. So it's a good idea, but it's not always necessary. And of course, if you're the king of the universe, you don't have to worry about these things, right? Yahshua is not going to get a flu virus. And anyway, and the Pharisees saw it, and he marveled that he did not wash his hands. And really what this is getting to is the ritual, and the Pharisees had their extra biblical writings, what was called the traditions of the elders, where they had to wash their hands in a certain way, and, you know, and use a towel and all this stuff before they ate, and everything they did. They had rules for everything they did, so they followed their rules fairly strictly. And so he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now, do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness?" So he takes advantage of the situation here to draw an illustration. And it really has nothing to do with washing hands or cups. He's talking about their life, their person, who they are, what kind of man they are. It's the same thing as the light of the eye and the body being full of light or full of darkness, depending on what they're after. So he uses a situation to draw an illustration. "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? You fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God." So you're concerned about everything but what's important. You don't use righteous judgment, and you don't have the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the others undone. He's saying, yeah, okay, wash your hands, that's fine. Do all of those things that are good. It's good to wash the cup. He says, don't leave those undone, but don't pass over the things that are more important. He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." Then answered one of the lawyers and said to him, "Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also." And he said, "Woe to you also, you lawyers! So, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your little fingers. Woe to you, for you build sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. For the blood of Abel, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. So what is he saying? That all of the blood of all of the prophets are going to be required of this generation. Well, it's the abomination which maketh desolate. It is finally the culmination of all of the prophets that takes place in this generation. This is it. This is the 70th week of Daniel. This is the end of the genealogies. This is it. It's all over. No need for national Israel. No need for the genealogies. This is the end of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is the end of the priest temple sacrificial system. And he, of course, is the last great prophet of Israel. After this, there are no more prophets being raised up out of Israel, because national Israel is over with. So when you take all of these things in, you get a feeling for what he's saying, that it will be required of this generation from the blood of Abel, the first righteous man who was slain, who was martyred for his faith. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You enter in, not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. And how do they hinder them? Well, you know, it's the same thing going on today. You have the corporate church out there. You have the pastors and the teachers and the hypocrites teaching them that the law was nailed to the cross and that they get to go to heaven when they die, that no one can snatch you out of their hand. Just go about your life. And of course, they like to divide the law up so that they get to pick and choose which law is appropriate. Because, of course, I never met a pastor, a teacher, or hypocrite out there that wants you to commit adultery with his wife, but the law was nailed to the cross. I never met one that would agree to you not tithing to their corporate church, because, of course, that he needs his salary and pensions and medical plans and also need to make the payments for the multi-million-dollar structure. Are hundreds of thousands of dollars that they owe to the banksters, their true gods, and to the state, through their incorporation, that privilege that they receive. Of course, they have to keep up that privilege and pay, the god of money for their unjust weight participation in an unjust weight and balance monetary system, which the Heavenly Father says is an abomination. He says a just weight and a balance are mine. But he calls an unjust weight and a balance an abomination. So to participate in that shows you exactly who your God is, and is the God of the abomination. It's not the Heavenly Father. For all of you who think you're borrowing money for God, that's just what an abominable thing to even believe, that God needs the loans from the money cartel out there, that God needs you to go down and apply for a 9-digit number so you can participate in an abomination. Nothing. So you lead people up to the kingdom, you give them the word of God, and then you tell them that they get to go to heaven when they die. You don't suffer them to enter the kingdom now, do you? Because you don't go in yourselves. You don't even see it. And that's what's going on out there in the corporate church. That's what's going on in the big crusades. And it says here, he tells them, he says, and you enter in not in yourselves. These are the leaders in the church he's talking to. You enter in not yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. Yeah, you get in their way. You try to prevent them from entering. You don't want them to go beyond where you are, but some of them will. Some of them will enter despite the hindrance that is placed up before them. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Yeah, they didn't like very much him speaking the truth. They weren't ready to receive it. They could not search their own hearts. They weren't going to pray, oh, Holy Spirit, come into my life. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and starts convicting them, and they run. They blaspheme that Holy Spirit, say, this ain't from God. This ain't what I was looking for. In the meantime, chapter 12, verse 1, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So what he's saying is, he's telling them that whatever these guys, these hypocrites, because he says it's hypocrisy, so they do one thing in secret, but they proclaim something else. He's saying, whatever you proclaim in secret, be willing to proclaim it openly. Don't say anything in secret that you don't want everyone to know, because there's nothing hid that shall not be known. And we're just about to run out of time here, so I'm going to call it quits for today and bid everyone, as always, to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and obtain eternal life. Because there is nothing more important than you cross the border. There's nothing, I mean absolutely nothing more important in this life than your eternal disposition. Where are you going to be forever? Because this life is very short. And the older you get, the closer you get to realizing just how short it is. Forever is a very long, long time. It's a never-ending time. What are you going to be doing forever? So do pray for His Holy Spirit to come into your life. Allow His Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and teach you righteousness, that His law may be written in your mind and in your heart. Truly ask Him for that desire. Say, teach me how to love you, Heavenly Father. Teach me, give me a desire to do only the things which please you. Because that is how we love Him. We have that true desire to do only the things which please Him. How much would your children love you if they only had a desire to please you? Well, in everything you say, in everything you do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.